and sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good afternoon. This is Sean P.
This is Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Yep. And bringing you another episode. And today's title is Sue Rich. And we'll go into the explanation to break it down. Some of our listeners have probably heard of Sue's. First of all, this is an early recording for us. We're recording in the afternoon. It's 11:17 in the morning. So kind of on the early side. How you doing this morning, Big Group?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good. Actually getting ready to take care of this episode and then eventually dive into the rest of the day. So we usually try to do this at the end of the day. So, Sue's, what is your awareness and familiarity with them? Like I said, some people probably know, some people might not know. For our listeners, what is a Sue?
It's a group four savings plan that a lot of people use. Basically, is everybody puts a certain amount of money in per week, and when it's your turn, you collect a lump sum. So if you have 10 people and they all put $100 in every week, on the 10th week, you get $1,000.
Exactly. And I'm sure we've heard about it since our youth, whether we've participated or not. It's just something that has been circulating. It's definitely big in certain communities. I know it's very big in the Caribbean community. It's big among other immigrant groups. So it's something that's not new. It's been out there for a long time. I think it actually traces back to Africa, to an African system. I'm not sure how far back, but it's been around for a while.
Yeah, I mean, Sue's are good. People use it to, you know, save money for trips, for big purchases and things like that. So it's been around, like you said, for a while. And it's a good way of for savings. The only thing, I guess, you will make sure that you're doing it with reliable people, because if people decide not to put in when it's their turn or disappear, that can cause trouble.
Absolutely. And I think that's great you made that point earlier on, because I think that is some people's biggest issues with it, right? Criticisms of it. How do I know I can trust it? And like you said, it's something that it usually is relationship-based. It's usually something where you know people. It's been in existence before you join it, or if you do join one that's new, like you said, it's with people you know. I mean, if somebody rang your doorbell one day and said, listen, I have a great idea to save money, you just got to give it to me and I'll be back in a month, you'd close the door, right? Because I don't know you, why would I trust you?
Exactly. I mean, even if you do it with, say, coworkers, you're doing it at work. Somebody gets fired and they happen to have been the one that got picked last week. Maybe you can't find them now with all this money they have. So, like you said, it's good to have good relationships with the people you're going to do it with.
Exactly. And I think you made some good points just with the pre-existing idea of a Sue, in the sense that there is a certain amount of trust that goes into it. There are certain rules that I guess need to be applied to it. Like you said, what's the period? What's the amount? What's the expectations? Who's kind of spearheading it? If someone's spearheading it, that it's done in a responsible way. So there are certain criteria that needs to be met, certainly because it's not a bank. It's not a formal bank where things are documented by law. Things are backed by the government. So this is really trust-based, informal.
Yes, it is. So, you know, you want to do it with people that you rarely have faith in that's going to, you know, commit to it and not pull out like the basically in 1 second it disappear. You got to be with you the whole time and see it all the way through.
True. And for our listeners, if you hear any noise in the background, they're doing some construction work. Both Big Roop and I, though we're remote, we're in the same area, so you'll get it from either one of our microphones, and it's just something we're working around. But it is what it is, so just hopefully we'll talk loud enough that you will be able to hear the topic.
That is true.
So do you have any personal awareness of a susu? Either you, someone close to you, someone in your circle, as opposed to the theoretical awareness? Because we know how it should work. We know that it does work. But do you know anybody who's participated in it?
Yeah, well, on my previous job, they actually had one. I forgot how many people were in it. And they had it where it was, they had not contracts, but it was written out. You know exactly who was getting the money every pay period until everybody got paid off. Again, the only problem with that is, like I said, if someone gets terminated or whatever, then they have to try to replace that person because they may not be able to continue to contribute. But that's the only one I really know. And I think I've heard from one of my other friends that he was involved with it, but I've never actually personally, you know, done it.
Gotcha. I have to be honest, neither have I. It's something that I've known about again since childhood. I've heard about it, more rumors at one point. And then, like you said, you see some people that are in one, you see that it's actually done. It can be very formal in the case of your former place of employment where it actually was written down and scheduled and cataloged, basically. So everyone knew more or less what to expect. Obviously, you did have the little wrinkle if someone left early or things of that nature, but they handled it very organized because you have some where there is no written record. You don't know the members of the susu. So literally, you have a point person that you're just trusting. You're giving them this money and you're just trusting that when it's your turn, the money will come back to you. So they actually did it pretty organized.
Yeah. They try to do something organized that people could be held accountable. Word of mouth is not good. Oh, you got paid last time. It's my time to get paid. Meanwhile, maybe they didn't get paid. So it's good to be organized and have detailed records of what's going on.
Exactly. So I think that's a good step. And it's a good launching point for our purpose of the topic today, Susu Rich. Because I think one of the critiques that I've had with just the concept of the Susu, right, that as we've outlined, is that it's basically a forced savings plan or kind of an external savings plan, right? So it's not very different than putting your money in the bank, minus the guarantees, which we've already talked about. The difference being, at one point, you did accrue interest on your money in the bank. So basically, I put my money in the bank, and whatever the bank does behind the scenes, I don't need to know about it, but they're giving me some return on it. So I'm actually making money on my money. And through lots of financial changes the last couple of decades, that's basically non-existent. I mean, honestly, you get pennies on your deposited money nowadays. So basically, it's almost like a susu. You're just putting your money in the bank so you know where it is.
Exactly. It's just holding it for you.
Right. So if we strip away the guarantees that banks have, and again, that's not minor strip aways. I mean, the fact that you put your money there and it's secure, that is a very big value that traditional banking has. And if you strip away the fact that you're not getting great interest on it now, as you were at one point, I mean, there were times in the 1970s, you were getting 15% on your money. Again, why would anybody not put their money in the bank at that point to get a guaranteed return? So, I mean, obviously those things aren't reality anymore. So you could say that if you strip those things away, banks, traditional banks, are basically susus.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
No, true. And susus, you're not even getting your free toaster anymore.
True. No presents, no frills. In this case, just the security of knowing where your money is. And we're not minimizing that. I mean, that's a major thing because, you know, you could have your money, as they say, under your mattress, your house goes up in fire, and there you go. All your money's gone.
No, that's true. So at least you know it's there. And something happens, like you said, you have a fire in your house. Your money didn't burn up.
No, exactly. But there's another form of banking that goes parallel to traditional banking, and that's investment banking. And that's a different form of banking now where people use money, right, through these institutions, investment banks, to grow their money, right? So not guaranteed, not secured, right? But you put your money in places where it's going to be used in ways that will either make it grow or make it shrink. That's an investment. And I think that's a portion of banking that I'm trying to, that I'm hoping we can relate to SUSUs, because I don't think a lot of people think of SUSUs in those ways, but what's precluding them from being thought of in those ways? Like, what's blocking people from using SUSUs as a way of making money instead of just paying their bills?
Well, I think when people think of the stock market and any type of investment, they think you need large sums of capital. Nobody wants to go buy Apple shares with $100. You probably can't buy one share at a time. So they look at it as not being feasible for them, I would assume.
True. That's true. And I think that's a really good division there, because I think a lot of people think of the stock market, and when you mention investment banking, and they think of them as the same thing. And the truth of the matter is, stock market is just an exchange. Right, it's basically just a great big market where you can buy and sell different, investments, securities. Right, investment banking now is a place where you go to get money to do those things. Right, so investment bank is not necessarily a part of the stock market, even though we know they're connected. There's no question they're connected, but technically, investment banks allow you to participate in the stock market.
True, I got you. I feel you.
So I guess what I'm saying is, since traditionally SUSUs in a lot of communities, especially in the Caribbean communities and, again, other immigrant groups have been used as traditional savings banks, what if that was a shift to investment banks, where now you're not looking to save your money and get a secure return, basically keep your money secure. You're actually looking to be a little bit more risky with your money, but to try to grow it. So now you're dealing with a SUSU, which we've already established is an informal to quasi-formal institution, not regulated by the government, not sanctioned by any governing body, just a group of people involved. But now the mindset is, okay, I'm using this money, I'm pooling this capital to invest in some asset or business to grow my money.
Oh, the first thing you'd have to do is the money you're putting into the SUSU would have to be disposable income. Because I think what a lot of people who I know do the SUSU, that's money they're going to pay their rent with or their car note or whatever with. So it's just a way of them forcing the money to be saved, so they have the money saved up in one lump sum. Now, what you're talking about is taking disposable income to make into more money. So it has to be money that you don't have allocated to pay your bill or pay a major expense.
No, well said. That's a very good breakdown, and that's true, because that's the same thing in the traditional banking versus investment banking. You put your money in a savings bank to save it. You go to an investment bank to try to invest and grow it. So in other words, it's the same concept, right? What you're putting your money into and for what reason. So in other words, you're right. SUSUs have been used as a form of savings banks. So if we were to, as we are suggesting, I should say, to use SUSUs as a form of investment banks, it wouldn't need to be disposable income or income that you're looking to grow outside of your primary needs. I mean, that's just the same. Again, you don't go to the stock market with all your money or with your rent money.
No, I agree. I'm just saying the majority of people that I know that do SUSUs, they don't have disposable income. They're basically just pulling money in to make them save it so they can have it in a lump sum. Now, if you have extra money or you're able to allocate to some disposable income, then it's a great tool to try to have investment income, which I agree with you.
Gotcha. And that's a really good point. And I think one of the focuses of this episode is to, again, share more awareness, right? Because you're right. People may have access to some disposable income that they're not aware of. And people may also not know what they can do with disposable income. So again, it may be a lack of awareness. Like you said, I can't go to the stock market. I can't buy Apple stock. So I really can't invest in anything, right? As opposed to, yes, there's penny stocks if you were to research it. Robinhood is now all the rage as far as the app. I actually do have a Robinhood account. And just realizing that there are other opportunities that one may be available, and two, maybe they should be available, right? Maybe we should think beyond the traditional system, especially when the traditional system doesn't fully acknowledge or respect people, right? Because these people go for loans for houses or business loans, or car loans, and they can't get it. And maybe the SUSU is a form of fulfilling that need, right? So it can kind of blend where You don't want to necessarily use susu to pay your rent, but maybe you are going to use a susu as a down payment on a car.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that happening.
Right. So in a way, it just shows, okay, I can't get a down payment on a car, even though I couldn't make the notes, right? I just don't qualify for it. But if I join the susu and I'm careful and I cut back on some of my expenses and I'm able to, you know, get my lump sum paid out on my car, you know, to finance it, and then I can make the payments. So that just shows how with awareness, you can actually use it as more than just a forced savings account. Now you can kind of use it to do things strategically that you're not able to do, maybe because the traditional banking system won't work with you.
Tired of the same rap songs, uh-huh. Every new hit should sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
No, that's a valid point. It's a very, you know, that's something that, like you said, we're trying to explore for the average person to see how they can, you know, get alternative ways to grow their money.
Definitely. Good. And I think following up that point, because again, this may be new for some of our listeners. You maybe have never heard of susu. So, you know, Big Rube and I are going to encourage you to do your research. Start with Google. You can actually ask people, because a lot of times you ask some older people who've been around longer, they probably have heard of it and they may have participated in it. So this is kind of a informational type of episode. We want you just to pull in information. We're not even necessarily telling you everything you should do, because this is something that's not like commonly known or done. It's just kind of a possible strategy for all of us to start looking at ways to grow our money.
Yeah, and we all, especially in this day and age, we have to find ways to make money grow. It seems that everything that you do is taking more and more of your money.
Right. No, exactly. Things are shifting. Things that have been in place are now disappearing or just altering, you know, like you said. So we have to think along those same lines. So the main thing now with susu rich, right, because we're talking about it more from the quote-unquote investor side. Okay, I have some disposable income and I want to put it someplace. The next point would be, well, where do you put it? And I think this is where people, listeners hopefully, and our listeners can direct others. Maybe what can happen is now the same way your business, you're trying to get started or you are starting, you're having some financial difficulties. And again, the traditional banking system is not being available to you or it's not making itself available. Maybe now you say, wait a minute, I can participate in a susu, right? Where I can be the recipient of the susu money, right? And again, let's just emphasize, this is not government regulated and there are legal and financial implications of everything you do. Right. So that's something where at some point, maybe we talk to a lawyer or someone who's more knowledgeable than us to say what you can and can't do, because there are certain things you can't do. You can't use your business as an investment and take money from people at a certain level that's not regulated. There's a certain dollar amount and certain stipulations where you can't just go around taking investments from people, knock on the door. And, you know, that goes more towards the airplane scheme and things like that. But that being said, if I'm a barber or I have some other small business, and again, I'm trying to get over the hump as far as equipment or whatever the case may be, the government's not able to support me or the banking system won't help me. Maybe now being part of a susu, people can put their money with me, and as I grow, they can not only get their money back, but get a return on it. And that's why I said it gets a little sticky, because you don't want to break the law. We're not encouraging any law breaking. But we also say, if the government and the banking system is not supporting us, what are we supposed to do?
No, you're totally right, because it depends on the legality of the area that you're in. But it wouldn't make sense that if you can have a susu, and again, if it's everybody's disposable income, so they're not looking to take that money to spend it on a monthly expense. And they're like, oh, we can put this money together and maybe we can loan it out to somebody at a certain interest rate. Again, I don't know if that is considered loan sharking. So again, you would need legal guidance as to what you can do. But maybe you can help, you know, people put money down for, like you say, a car. So they're getting a loan from you instead of going to the bank for $10,000 or whatever. Things like that where your money is growing, but it's legal. So those are apps I guess people can explore.
Exactly. And you're right. I mean, you summed it up perfectly, right? Because there are certain legalities, certain things, and I'm sure some of them are in place because they need to be there and they're helpful. Others may be in place and maybe are questionable as far as their goal and or result, right? Because the thing is, everyone that's responsible wants to maintain their standard of living and grow it, right? That's part of the American dream. And if the resources that you need to grow it aren't available to you, then you're going to seek out other resources. And should the law preclude that? So again, this is one where, as you said, you want financial lawyers, you'd want tax lawyers, you'd want to know the regulations. Because we already know that SUSUs can be done in a shiesty way to take people's money. That's not what we're talking about. But we're saying, again, if you have disposable income and you choose not to invest in the stock market, right? Robinhood has been in the news the last couple of months because it was being manipulated, and not necessarily legally, but it was being manipulated. Right. So here's a large multi-billion dollar institution that's regulated, that's legal, that's on the up and up. And there still was a lot of questionable practices. So we're saying if they can do questionable practices within a legal framework, maybe there's other avenues where people can also seek to grow their money that might be questionable to some people, but it's not illegal. And more importantly, it's effective.
Yeah. Let's say that there was a group of 10 people that were doing $100 a week in a SUSU. So every 10 weeks, it's $1,000. And they all pledged that in 10 months, they're going to, you know, when they all have their payouts, they're all going to keep putting that money aside. They're not going to take it and spend it. So now you have the $10,000 after 10 months. Then they said, all right, we're going to lend this $10,000 out to Joe Blow. Joe Blow is trying to buy a car. So lending the $10,000 at, say, we're going to get 6%. Now you're making more money than you would make if it was in the bank, because the bank is giving you 1%, which is a good investment. Now, again, is that considered loan sharking? I don't know, which is why you would need to have your tax professionals to keep you within the law, because you don't want to be going to jail for loan sharking.
Right. And I think to that point, that's why I would not look to loan it to Joe Blow, because Joe Blow now is basically in a loan sharking situation where is he supposed to find that money to give the 6%? That's why I guess, you know, today's topic of SUSU Richardson, okay, you already have a business, right? And you already have a way of generating additional wealth or revenues, I should say. You're just not at a point. You just don't have the operating financing to do that. So if people are putting their disposable, okay, good example. Joe Blow is an Uber driver, right? And his car breaks down, let's say. So now he's getting money to repair his car. And based on his earnings from Uber, he's then going to be able to pay 5-6%, whatever a fair amount, agreed upon amount is. Because now you see where the new revenue is coming from. See, Joe Blow is doing it out of his personal money. Then how is he going to pay it back? How can he give you extra money based on the fact that, you know, he's not making money off the money? He's just using money, like you said, for a need. But if he's a business now and I'm making cookies and I use this money to invest in a new kitchen and now I can make 3 times the amount of cookies and my sales go up, right? So that money helped me. It was an investment to me and I grew it. And I'm now giving you a return. So you got more money that you put in. Win-win.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
No, good point. Good point.
So, yeah, I think this was just a good conversation. Because this was just an informational one. Just something I came across a few weeks back. And then I brought it to you. And we just wanted to discuss it. Because ultimately, you just said it before, right? The way things are nowadays, a lot of the traditional financial strategies aren't fully available to everybody. Yet all of the debts and the bills are still there. So we have to be more creative and more innovative in the ways we deal with them, because you still got to pay your bills and you still want to leave something for your family as we grow older and pass on. But right now it's so much harder, or it seems so much harder than when we were younger, when there was less obstacles in the way.
No, it's true. And again, this is something that anybody can do as far as being involved with the SUSU. Obviously, if you are talking to financial institutions. You can do monthly, you know, payments into mutual funds and things like that. But that's something you could talk to, you know, to an advisor about. It's not something that an individual will be able to really do on their own.
Right. And just so I'll listen to know, this is not so much an individual conversation as this is a communal conversation, because the ultimate goal of a lot of SUSUs isn't just to personally benefit people. It's for everyone who's a part of it to kind of share in the success of everyone else. And I think that's what goes back to the ancient African principle. I think it was a Yoruban financial principle. And I know even in Kwanzaa, there is a one of the terms is cooperative economics, right? That we work together. So I think that's what we're trying to pass along, right? That financially, we're not really going to do well by ourselves. A lot of financial success is kind of a communal success. And that goes back to not only us as investors or savers, it also goes to, you know, businesses. There are people who have business ideas and businesses that don't have access to capital. And why should they get capital from someone outside the community who then gets the return and runs with it, as opposed to getting capital from people within the community that can then grow and benefit together?
No, that's true. It makes sense.
Good. So I guess depending on our listener feedback on it, again, today's topic, SUSU Rich, and everyone can chime in, because as Dave Rube said, this is not really a formal thing. It's more an awareness thing. And it's an idea that has legs, we believe, and something that we can share and talk about communally. And we can maybe follow it up with an episode, again, maybe bring in an expert who can break down why it would work the way we said, why it wouldn't work the way we said, why or how it can work, and just kind of have additional conversations on it.
No, definitely. I mean, maybe we can get someone that's actually currently in a SUSU or has used it for any type of positive gains, and maybe they have some additional insights that we haven't thought of so far.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I guess for our listeners, we can leave this one as a to be continued, but we thought it was a very important topic to share in our changing world. And before we close out, I guess, do you have any call to actions for our listeners? Again, today's episode is SUSU Rich.
Well, yeah. I mean, a call to action would be to, well, like you said, look up SUSU on Google and see what it actually entails. And you can start a small one. It doesn't have to be one for $100 a week or $200 a week. It could be something for $20 a week that, you know, at the end of us telling you guys, you get $200. It's not a lot of money, but it's just showing you the principles in place. And then you guys can adjust the scales to whatever goals you have.
Good, good. No, you're right. I mean, that's a great approach, actually, to start small and kind of do a test case run and see that it works. And then once you know that it works, you know, the scaling is just a matter of changing the outlook of it, the dollar amount or whatever. But the concept is what's key. So I think that's a good one. I think I would join your call to action with mine being that I think the entrepreneurs out there, those who listen to us and just, you know, in the area of, you know, of our podcast and in general, should think about what you would do if you had access to additional financing. Again, it could be a small amount of money, as Rube said, but just an additional pool of capital. Because I think that's one of the things that, well, I think that's one of the things that hurts most businesses. They don't have the capital to either get started or to continue or to grow. And think of how maybe an alternative means, again, legal. So we're not saying anything illegal. That's why we would follow it up. But, okay, maybe I do want to get a small business started and I can't go to a bank. I can't get a small business loan. I don't qualify for that. But maybe if I was to join a SUSU that was designed for investment purposes, I can get the seed money I need to get started. And I can make sure that as I grow, I pay back my investors so that they're comfortable.
No, that's true. That's a good point.
Okay, good. Good. So good topic, good episode. Hope our listeners get a lot out of it. Sorry for the extra noise, as we mentioned, there's some construction going on. But we'll definitely follow up this topic. I think there's some meat here that in our listeners, our community people can just learn, grow in awareness. And we'll come back to it. So today's episode was SUSU Rich. I am Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
and we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.